Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. I am always on the lookout for good people that are telling the truth, fearlessly dropping the news, telling the real news. And my guest today is one of the best out there. She's Brianna Morello. She has a show every single night on X that is killing it. And I am lucky enough that she took the time to come hang out with us today. Thank you for joining me, my friend.
Thank you for having me, Mel. It's a pleasure to be with you. You are doing great work as well. I go to you for my source on all of the deep dives into the documents and things that I might have missed. So we make a great team, I have to say.
I agree. And I'm so excited. We were recently together in person and we're looking at each other thinking, why aren't we working together? And then we found out we live near each other in free America. So it's just an evolving thing. But for anyone in my audience that does not know you, you have quite an interesting journey so far into being this frontline fearless warrior. So tell my audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you for that opportunity. I started off working in actual sports. I was working for Major League Baseball and NHL. I was producing, doing freelance work as a reporter as well. And then I ventured into the news arena and I started working over at Fox for a bit. I've also worked for Newsmax and local news, went back to Fox. Sadly, when I went back to working for Fox, it wasn't the same Fox News, Fox Business I knew it was. And after working remotely for a few months, they had me come back into their New York City offices. And because this was during the pandemic, they told me that I couldn't go into the office unless I was vaccinated. They were saying that they were complying with the New York City private sector vaccine mandate. As a result of that, because literally they dropped this on me the day that I had moved back to New York City. I had, you know, raised hell over there at Fox and then tossed them my resignation letter and then have been on the independent journey since then. So it's been good.
That is so awesome. I remember when that was happening. I lived in Manhattan at the time and I had a couple friends that worked at Fox as well. And they were shocked that this was happening. And of course, everyone was saying it was about New York. But at the time, very few people stood up like you did. And your story did get out there. And rightly so, because as time went by, I think they freed you to be able to speak your truth and to evolve to a place that you might not have been able to. So, you know, for everything that happens when you're doing the right thing, the opportunity comes to you, and it did for you especially. So now we are at a place where you are doing live news every night at a time when we have a fire hose of chaos being thrown, blown in our face every morning. So first and foremost, right now where we are, so much has happened in the past week. What are you focusing on that you think is, because there's a lot of distraction, there's a lot of giant accounts that all kind of say the same thing. And you're scrolling through and trying to find like, okay, what's the meat? What will empower people that they're not learning right now? And what are you looking at right now that you feel like are key stories that might be getting lost?
Yeah, well, just this week, we just had earlier in the afternoon, it actually came out that the DOJ settled their massive lawsuit that was filed by the victims of Larry Nassar. Many of you guys might know him.
Great.
He was the one. Yeah, I believe that they settled for over $135 million. And ultimately, most Americans are looking at that thinking, okay, well, that's good. Those girls deserve it because they're victims of sexual assault. But my deep dive into it is, number one, it highlights the FBI failures. And we need to keep mentioning that because the FBI knew that this man was doing these things to these poor young girls. And instead of getting involved and doing something and being proactive, they decided not to do anything. So that's my go-to story as of today, right now, because some were fired, some of them were able to retire, but nobody was ever arrested and thrown in prison. And the DOJ actually declined to charge any of their FBI agents on that. So that's a big one right there, because it just highlights again the FBI failing to do its only job, which is to protect the American people, and instead being used as a political opposition attack police enforcement kind of thing.
That case is extremely disturbing on top of that, because we all know that the FBI went into all of Jeffrey Epstein's properties, took a lot of evidence. Some people from the Palm Beach police and other people say thousands of hours of blackmail, and it's never seen the light of day. No individual really has been arrested. We also had in that case a huge payout from Chase, you know, for $300 million and multiple other banks admitting that. We have Ghislaine Maxwell in jail for trafficking teenage girls, children, and yet nobody's been charged either with that. And the FBI has been silent on that as well. And the Wiener laptop, we don't know anything about that, though we know that they claim that there was stuff there on children. So it's an epidemic epidemic of unaccountable people that have a lot of power over us. So I want people to understand that this is far reaching. The story about the gymnasts is it was years of them knowing and not investigating. And you have to wonder why, because there was some talk out there that this was also connected to some form of trafficking and other kind of sexual exploitation. And yet it doesn't make sense. So this is a continuous thing. Now we have the Sean Combs case that kind of went in, went out, and is he an FBI guy? What's happening? So it's really important to keep an eye on that. To as they tell us that they are still this stellar agency, even if you look back to the beginnings of the FBI, it's as shady as it ever was. But at the same time, you know, we're supposed to allow track and trace surveillance without warrants and everything else that they're doing because we're supposed to be trusting them. And yet here we are again, a total failure. So that's awesome. Now, what else do we have in the percolating front row of your mind?
Well, Julie Kelly has been a rock star out there right now.
Yes.
This girl, I mean, Mel, it's a tie between you and her who's got the better eye for detail when it comes to digging into these documents, because she's doing a just nosedive into all these documents that have now been released because of Judge Cannon over in Florida, the U.S. Judge over there, who has now said to the DOJ and Jack Smith, we're not going to let you redact all this information. We're actually going to make this public now. And then she released it yesterday. Julie Kelly's been going all through it. And if you don't know the characters in this, you can miss a lot of real important gems just to kind of highlight it as a whole.
Yeah.
And to make it really, because it's very in depth. Just to get over the most important parts. It highlights, and this is why Jack Smith didn't want you guys to see this at home. It highlights how the Biden regime actually literally reached out to a lot of these agencies and got them involved in going after specifically Donald Trump. And, you know, what she's going through is these documents. She's going through the National Archives and their role with Joe Biden. And ultimately, yeah, it's literally pointing that the Joe Biden actually went after, the DOJ actually went after the National Archives. And specifically, and this is the interesting part in all of this, Specifically what happened there was even though the National Archives was working with the DOJ and they were working together, the DOJ still somehow subpoenaed the National Archives to forcefully get other documents from Donald Trump. Now, those documents that specifically they were looking at were related to all the false witch hunches into him. And so that's the real telling part in all of this. I think a lot of people need to head over to Julie Kelly's Twitter page and go through it, because it's very extensive, but it's amazing what's going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, we have to also remember what the Mar-a-Lago case is about. You know, at the end of the day, we do know that Donald Trump wrote a letter on January 20th of 2021. It's the Privacy Act review of certain declassified materials related to the FBI's Crossfire Hurricane investigation. Mm-hmm. So on his way out, he declassified a lot of stuff. And it's my belief that that is actually what they're looking for. A few weeks ago, we heard the disclosure again about a folder. A binder that they're looking for that everyone is upset about. We also know from Kash Patel and others that he declassified plenty of stuff and it was in his purview to do so. So I think what also is coming out of this story is who are the people that are pulling the strings above the DOJ and FBI? Because to me, I look at that and I look back at Crossfire Hurricane, the fraudulent Mueller-Weissman really investigation into Crossfire Hurricane, because they already knew Crossfire Hurricane was a setup and a fraud to begin with, which all ties into Julian Assange and so many other things. So for me, and I want to know how you feel about this. When I look at this big picture and the persecutions of Donald Trump, and I see all the same names, Weissman, Eisen, McCord, you know, all the lawfare people from Brookings, I call them the fifth column. They're like this lawfare crew that's destroying faith in the justice system, manipulating law and order. But at the end of the day, I also see these people as people that committed sedition, treason, collusion, all kinds of election interference, everything you could. Most of them were involved in multiple things, all of the impeachments, all of the persecutions now. So to me, I think the real frustration is the realization that both Barr and Durham had the opportunity to hold these people accountable. And instead, that he allowed them to put themselves back in power, to put themselves basically above the DOJ. I believe that the same crew, the Weissman-Eisen crew, is running everything, and to continue down a path. And this isn't about, to me, Donald Trump. I don't know about you. This is about Donald Trump's voters. This is about a demoralization, dehumanization, kind of, you know, really creating as much chaos and destruction so that the people that believe in America as intended, or the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, just say, we give up. Just we give up, fine, take the country, good, go. What is your feeling looking back? You've been covering this all these years, and here they are still again, the same people, unaccountable, on MSNBC and Morning Joe, pontificating when we know what they did.
Yeah, Weissman was drooling on MSNBC just a few days ago talking about all of this, and was making this sound like a salacious trial. And we're going to find out so much about what happened during the payoff with Stormy Daniels. And he was just drooling. And then you had George Conway's chunky little self in the corner of the desk also drooling, because he loves talking about this too. I mean, these people, it's the same characters as always. They hate this country. But they never get, there's no consequences for their behavior. They're never held accountable. And it's actually interesting that you mention it. So just to go back a little bit, the document specifically that I was citing, 19 documents they were looking for specifically, the DOJ to the National Archives, that they had to actually subpoena, were all related to Crossfire Hurricane and John Durham's investigation. So they're specifically looking for, they're specifically looking for those because they want to know what he has on them, because obviously President Trump is, he's not a dumb man. He probably took the most important things that would help him in the future if they ever came after him. And so that's what they're fearful that he has in his possession, potentially. But, you know, Tucker Carlson did a great interview with Joe Rogan, and he mentioned that the intel communities and the kind of pull that they have on politicians, and why politicians, they know what's going on. They're not stupid. They're not going to go after any of these agencies or these specific individuals who are controlling these agencies, because, well, they live in fear. And it's strange because, you know, Tucker details, and I've heard this before too throughout DC, but Tucker details how they all have these little creepy sexual kinks that they don't want getting out there. And that's the reason why they comply instead of getting that information out there. But I think it's even deeper than that. You know, it's the planting of potentially child pornography. We've seen that happen before, and people get caught over that as well. Journalists who are working on pieces that are incredible pieces, but they couldn't release them. And in fear, the DOJ was hacking into their computers and their devices. We just also saw the New York Times is now putting out articles that are very fluffy to the intel community, specifically the FBI and FISA, with warrantless searches, saying that, you know, you're safer without those warrantless searches. Was one of the pieces that they dropped on Sunday. Right. I think it's very obvious what we see going on here. We see that the overreach of our federal government, we see people who are just not gutsy enough to kind of stick their neck out and say something. Yeah. Those that are, the Marjorie Taylor Greens, the Congressman Matt Gaetz, well, they suffer the consequences. You know, I don't think it was a coincidence that, number one, Marjorie Taylor Greene had her affair information leaked out there to the media. I don't think that's a coincidence. I don't think it was a coincidence that the allegations facing Congressman Matt Gaetz were made public, even though there was no evidence at all. And if the DOJ could have charged him with jaywalking, they would have done that. They had nothing against Congressman Matt Gaetz, but yet they dragged it through the media and so publicly. And it's not just, it's Lauren Boebert also. She's on that date. All of a sudden, there's a camera that can see clearly, and it's pointing at her. People who speak out, they get their stuff, their embarrassing content poured out into the world for the rest of the world to judge and to see. I think other people are watching that, and they don't want involvement in that. So they think it's best to kind of duck and look the other way. So you spoke about U.S. Attorney, former U.S. Attorney Bill Barr, AG Bill Barr. I want to mention Bill Barr. I spoke with so many people, and I know you have too as well on your show. Bill Barr, according to Jeff Clark, on three separate occasions, declined investigating election fraud tips that were being given to the DOJ. And he got so aggressive that he came out during Jeff Clark's disbarment hearings in DC that he was calling people and threatening them over the phone to shut it down. And that's ultimately what we have here is, why was Bill Barr so motivated to shut these investigations down? And then I speak to people in the FBI. I spoke to one agent who's no longer with the agency, was forced into early retirement because, well, he sent an email that came after January 6th where the FBI said all of our resources are being pushed towards investigating J6 and what happened that day. Right. And this one supervisor simply put in an email, hey, what are we going to do with all these election fraud tips that we're getting? And the very next day, he was told to pack up his stuff and leave. And he was tossed out after being in the FBI for over two decades. And I spoke with his lawyers. I spoke with everyone. He can't even come forward, Mel. Right. He can't even come forward because he's a fear.
Yeah, but see, this is where we have to have real conversations with the American people. I mean, there's 350 million people. We're talking about a very small group of people that have deemed themselves, I call them the parent company of the United States. Frankly, I don't think anyone in the three branches has any power at this point, all the way up to the president, because of the unconstitutional fourth branch, I call the intelligence branch. And it shouldn't exist. It comes from the incredibly egregious unconstitutional Patriot Act that that created this blob of unaccountable, totally invasive, unconstitutional agencies that have no oversight. No one stops them. And I believe that if you look at the entire surveillance apparatus, and you know, everyone's going crazy over the warrantless 702. First of all, that whole bill, they're not talking about all the parts that expand it. But the other part is they're lying, all the people that protect them. Basically, it looks like the Senate Special Select Committee on Intelligence is like the stopgap between, you know, accountability and the blob, the intelligence blob. But I'll tell you what, you look at that whole thing and you look at the NSA and then their relationships with all the Five Eyes agencies, which really is how they set up Crossfire Hurricane, folks. And then you look at their relationships with big tech, literal relationships with big tech, Department of Defense, NSA, DHS, FBI. Then you look at the relationships. They have a whole thing where they have relationships with the multinational corporations. And then you look, the bigger picture is the global parent company, the global public-private partnership stakeholders that have a piece of all of this. So you look at it and you think, wait a minute. So the three branches of government, everyone in them is pretty much worried about being spied on or a family member or something happening here. And then outside of there, we got the intelligence blob. I call them the fourth, you know, the fourth branch. And then the lawfare, fifth column. And then above them, I think, you know, the public-private partnership, parent company of America with Larry Fink and Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates and all these people. And you think we have 350 million American citizens and we're just sitting here like, okay, well, this, and that's where you have to start to say, well, what if there is no accountability for anyone at any time, then we're all just surrendering that we're going to live in the Big Brother 1984 world. And to me, this is one of the biggest things, which is what you just said. Bill Barr, I believe firmly, was put in there to protect the institutions, not the Constitution and not the people. And when Donald Trump's saying, well, I barely know him, I picked him. Well, who picked him? Who, Chris Christie picked him? And then you have the other one. Durham came in, and the crazy part, I don't know if you're aware of this, so Bill Barr tasked Special Counsel Durham way before we knew about it. And he was doing that, but that was after the Mueller-Weissman fake investigation that cost us $70 million that they knew was over the fake concocted Brennan struck page Crossfire Hurricane situation. But you know what was never allowed? There was never allowed to be an investigation within the government. So the Crossfire Hurricane team was investigated by the Mueller team, but they weren't investigated. Well, it was investigated. It was Donald Trump's collusion with Russia that they knew never happened because they set it up. And then Durham comes in to investigate what? The outside. He wasn't investigating the FBI or the DOJ or the Crossfire Hurricane team. He was only allowed to investigate the DNC and the Clinton group and Fusion GPS and outside. So both of those investigations, they were never allowed to look at the intelligence community. So, I mean, if we're going down this path, the American people have to understand, yeah, it's there now, but you and I both have reported on the FBI putting in a new division, which was anti-government, anti-authority, based on this domestic terrorism situation, which really is concocted because they're counting every single incident at the Capitol on January 6th as an individual domestic terror case. So where are we now? And what do you tell the American people when they come to you? I know I'm sure you get a lot of emails. You're very popular. When they come to you and they say, what can we do?
Yeah, it's interesting because you just cited something I think is really important. I think when you drive home about the individual cases that they opened regarding January 6th, I spoke with FBI whistleblower Steve Friend, and he's openly said that was meant to boost their numbers. And we see them doing it all the time. I mean, they're still ripping down the doors here in Florida of people who are just being charged with misdemeanor offenses, which is unheard of. You don't get search warrants and you don't arrest people in different states for something like that. It's a minor offense. Usually you contact them, you have them tell them, if you got a lawyer, have a lawyer reach out to us, and you figure figure out a way for them to turn themselves in, but they're intentionally doing this. And this is all intentional. When people ask me, what do we do? Well, I say, you get involved. You got to get loud. You know, you don't get overly aggressive. You can't sound crazy. You got to be composed and you got to be able to argue and defend your views and be able to explain what's going on right now in our country. Cause there's so many people right now who kind of have, and I was guilty at one point in my career, are just kind of like washed by the media, yeah. Right? We watch the corporate media. You think that you know everything. And then you realize you know nothing at all and you've been lied to your entire life. So you got to figure out how to talk to people who are going through that situation. Because if we start slowly but surely flipping the minds of people who are avid listeners of MSNBC, CNN, all right. those platforms that we don't like, that's the real key to this. You have to kind of tell them, explain to them, what do you think about this? Let them explain themselves. Be like, what if I told you that like, there's the diary out there that Joe Biden's accused of molesting his or potentially molesting his daughter in a shower. Like, how do you feel about that? And it's all on the same page. Like, how do you, like, they never told you about this. They just told you that you were, that the diary was stolen. Like, how do you feel about that? That they never told you the truth about what was actually in the diary and that in fact, it wasn't stolen. And then sometimes they get so disappointed that they didn't know any of that. And you're pointing out the fact, you're showing the page of the diary where it says I was molested as a child. Right. And my, you know, and then they get emotional, they get upset and they get infuriated by it. And then they want to learn more. And I think that's kind of how you have to build a way at it, because I'm knocking down the doors of politicians all the time, trying to get them to talk, trying to get them to explain themselves and their views and their perspectives on things. They don't really have much in the way that they can say openly. They'll tell you things off the record, but they won't say anything directly. And that's the problem. So you got to kind of change the minds of the American people first.
Yeah, I agree too. And, you know, back to the, what you were talking about before with this case in Florida, you know, there was Donald Trump did file a lawsuit in March of 2022 that people should go look at. It's on my resource page under Opposition Playbooks, because I do what you say, which is I try to make people use their critical thinking on things I know that they will, that we can meet in the middle on. It's equally egregious, regardless of what it is, which you would think people would think this about the Donald Trump case that's going on right now that is completely ridiculous. And the judge is out of control. But again, I have to say that, you know, you got to sometimes look at what they have said. So Donald Trump filed this case in March of 2022. The lawsuit gives a lot of evidence about everything that we're saying here in that lawsuit. Much of the stuff I think they're trying to bury from Crossfire Hurricane is in that lawsuit. People should go look at it. And I say, just go read this. It was filed in a court. I guess they put it off for a standing. I think that this lawsuit that Trump filed, and it was all the same players we're talking about. Many of the people, not fully, not everyone, but almost everyone that was involved in Crossfire Hurricane and the Mueller team, all these people, the DNC, everyone that was involved in the spying for the campaign and everything through that. And again, this was not even adjudicated. And so we have another situation where on the other side, they put through something and it goes. And then Donald Trump put in a case that they just said, no, we're not going to look at this. And this is continuing to happen. And we have the also the case that is about the documents is some of the charges are so ludicrous. It's like the same. They're actually charging Julian Assange with one of the same charges, but a 739 charges about giving documents to a foreign enemy you know, by a contractor. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting because I am watching the weaponization hearings. I know you had on Jim Jordan and you've talked to some of these people. I think that it's very disappointing that for whatever reason, it never goes anywhere when it is on the side, I think, of truth and the Constitution and the people. And yet on the other side, they're going to go for it every single time, every single time. And at this point, I'm not sure why people aren't stepping up. More people aren't stepping up, including Jim Jordan and others, loudly protesting what is happening to Donald Trump. Why do you think? Hi guys, thank you for watching the show. You know, I'm always telling you to be prepared and expect the unexpected. Well, the Wellness Company has great medical emergency kits to make sure you can do just that. In a world where supply chain vulnerabilities threaten our access to life-saving medication, I highly recommend you get a Wellness Company medical emergency kit. With 8 essential medications, including amoxicillin, Z-Pak, and ivermectin, you can be prepared for any medical emergency that comes your way. They have a medical emergency kit, a contagion kit, an emergency travel kit, and a first aid emergency kit. To support your own health and support the Mel Kay Show, please go to twc.health/MelKay now and use code MelKay for big savings at checkout. Don't wait until it's too late. Take back control of your health today with the Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit. Because when it comes to your family's well-being, preparedness is key. The Wellness Company, empowering you to face the unexpected with confidence.
I think they're all scared. I mean, listen, it took Jim Jordan some guts to sit down with me because I am a little feisty online. So I know a lot of politicians don't like that. But he did. And he gave me a good 15-minute sit-down interview, which I greatly appreciated. But I kept asking questions repeatedly. And it wasn't because I wasn't paying attention to him. It was because I didn't like his answer. And it's just a respectful way of saying, like, hey, I just asked you this. Can I get a different response back? Cause that was a nothing burger. But one of my specific questions was, you know, what can the Judiciary Committee do to fix the weaponized government? And his answer was just more oversight, but more oversight's not a solution. It's kind of like a bandaid on an issue. Like, oh, well, we found that this is what happened and that's it. Good luck with the information, guys. We're out. And then that's the end of it. There's no defunding the police, the FBI, the DOJ. There's none of that. I mean, FBI whistleblowers put their jobs literally on the line and their families' lives on the line by coming forward and reporting the weaponization of the FBI. And as a result, people like Steve Friend, Garrett O'Boyle, and you've had him on, Kyle Serafin, all of these great FBI whistleblowers who came forward, nothing happened after they came forward. And they're actually still to this day being harassed by the agency. And the most egregious part in all of it is I'm sitting here talking to Jim Jordan about it. I said, hey, listen, why can't we just give these, any whistleblower that comes forward to report anything, even the IRS ones, give them, if they're going to suspend them, it has to be paid suspension. And,
and a real, investigation into their claims, which never happens either. And, you know, this is the sad part about this. Cause you know, you're out there doing what I'm doing and it's like, it can be very demoralizing. But you and I keep going, but for the people out there that sit and ruminate on, you know, what has happened here, I think that the other thing that we should really be looking at is good people, because of what they've done to politics in America. Good people are not willing to have their lives torn apart, their families torn apart, the vicious, and it's on both sides, attacks, the whole money grabbing, the whole thing. It's like, we're not going to get good people in office if we continue down a path of having literally it be blood sport to even run for office, let alone to get through the primary. And you see the GOP is just as bad as the DNC. I personally don't believe that either party exists at this point. I think a public-private partnership above the government is running everything and has captured them all. But when it comes to all of this, it's very sad because what we say is, well, then we have to replace them. The 41 people that voted for the warrantless surveillance are the same people that voted to you know, impeach Donald Trump and all this. It's all the same players all the time on the right as well. And they keep voting for things that are against the Constitution. These aren't conservatives. They're owned and bought and paid for by whoever funded their ridiculously expensive campaigns. But I think that the biggest issue that we have right now in finding good people to run is A, the blood sport, B, the amount of money it takes to just run it all. And then bigger than that, I've watched on the left and right, and I know you have, that they think that they should be picking. So you don't even hear about a lot of the primary candidates that would be awesome that you love. They knock them out before by any means necessary. So it's not just the full capture of the government. It's also that the American people we've had the opportunity to serve ourselves, greatly limited by how much you're willing to do for your country in terms of, you know, putting yourself on the trot. You go running and you're going to get David Brock and the whole Lawfare team on one side. You're going to get the GOP if you're not status quo on the other side. You know, I think that that's a real issue that the American people should be able to meet in the middle about even what they're doing to RFK Jr. It's like, if you are not going to stay with the status quo, don't even bother or we're going to destroy you. I mean, it's so sad.
You know, I know you had Tara Castanova on, and I'm very familiar with her because we both come from Long Island, and she's obviously running for Senate. And they're trying to like toss her. They don't want her on the ballot. She's she had to file a lawsuit. Her opponent's now coming after her too. He just filed a lawsuit, I think, last week against her. It's this whole mess. But even before she came forward to announce that she was looking to run for office, they actually shut it down from the very beginning. And it's because they had their selected candidate. Right. And that selected candidate is a donor to Democrats. He is as far as I could tell, he's a Democrat. The same party has also put literally registered Democrats on the Republican ticket. And they won't allow anyone else to come forward to challenge those candidates that they have selected. So it's a real, real issue. People have to get involved. You got to kind of look at all the candidates for yourself and not go with your party's
Exactly. And also, you know, I was in Manhattan, you're from Long Island, you know, it's not as blue as people think. It's just, they're not allowed to even get to the point that they, and they put up, like you said, that there's a lot of situations where they're putting in Democrats to run as Republicans, very low level into the city council and into the county commission and the community board. And then they're tagged as Republicans and they're going up. But when you really look at the donors and what they're voting for, you're like, wait, what's going on here? But I think it's very sad because I think a lot more people would, I want to do their civic duty as defined by our founders, and that they're not able to. So what other things do you think people are not getting from even from Fox or some of the other ones that you are willing to touch upon?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've been doing a lot of stories regarding here in Florida, our attorney general. She's not very active when it comes to helping J6ers out. And the reason why I think it's so important is because, well, Florida has the most J6 defendants. We're seeing people get their doors ripped off the hinges for minor offenses. And we cover those stories extensively. So I've gone after and asked our AG to get involved, asked our governor to get involved. I'm just told all the time by the governor's office that there's nothing that he could do, which I understand, but he could influence the AG. Long story short, the AG did have some, and I know this for a fact, because Steve Baker actually met with our attorney general here in Florida. They did have aspirations to go after the DOJ by opening an investigation into their treatment of Florida residents. And well, suddenly 6 months later, that has kind of just dissipated and they don't even want to talk about it. I've reached out several times. They did give me comment back relatively recently, but it had nothing to do with what I was asking specifically. They have a change of heart now. They don't want to go after the DOJ. It seems to be a common theme here when you reach out to any state Republican attorney general. They don't want to help defend the rights of their constituents. And that's what we're up against right now. So when Ashley Moody, because I know she's looking to run for governor when Ron DeSantis' term is up, we will be on her campaign trail and we will be meeting her with the hard questions. And I will be gathering J6ers to be the ones to ask her those questions. I'm sure I'm very familiar. She'll see my face and won't come anywhere near me, but she doesn't know all the J6ers and their wives. And so we'll make sure that they meet her on the campaign trail.
Good. That's really important because, you know, it's my contention that the cesspool that is Washington, D.C., until we outlaw and make illegal lobbying, no taxpayer dollars, not in grants or anything else to any NGOs, including some of the big ones that really wreak a lot of havoc, like National Endowment for Democracy and other ones, but also all the way down to, you know, Open Society, Tides, Arabella, they all have 501c3s. Like, give me a break. Nobody should be funding any of that stuff. And also a lot of the campaign finance stuff should be, you know, we got to take it back to the people. I frankly also believe that every governor, I mean, every senator and every congressperson should live where their constituents are and not in D.C. I mean, there's many, many solutions. Also, I believe that from people I've talked to on the Trump team now and people that are working behind the scenes, because you and I both reported on Mary McCord and other people coming out saying that and, you know, saying basically we're going to do everything we can between now and the election to make sure when Trump gets in, he can't do anything again. The same people that were never held accountable the first time, and Kassonstein's down there writing all the border laws so that they can't be undone. They're putting in bills so that Trump can't pull out of NATO, can't negotiate peace, can't do Schedule F. I mean, but I know that there's good guys that are all in there doing the same thing. Don't forget about the pen and the phone of Obama. It works both ways, like FISA as well. But, you know, we got to really be honest about where we are. But what you're saying right now about the AG, I think this is super important that people understand that whatever's going to happen in the federal in Washington, D.C. is a big overhaul. And I think the Constitution is the best tool to use there. And I hope people like Stephen Miller and Cash and other people, Whitaker, there's a bunch of good guys out there that I think, and then a bunch of people behind the scenes that are preparing for whatever roadblocks are there. But on the other side, if we had like 20 really strong governors and 20 really strong attorney generals, we could turn this country around by that alone. And so you're watching attorney generals, and I'm glad that you're on the Florida one, but you know, we're seeing the same five attorney generals, Schmidt, Paxton, the guy from Louisiana, like there's a few, and you see their cases actually do get heard. And that seems like a great way to do it. But also, like you're saying, I also think people need to understand that in their county, there's a lot they can do as well. I don't want people, because I don't know if you're hearing this, but I keep hearing people being like, well, the election's going to be stolen and we don't have the apparatus and we don't have the ground game and all the illegals. And I keep saying, so you're giving up? Like, what are you doing now? So when you hear that rhetoric, I'm sure you hear it too, where people are like, well, they're going to steal the election. I keep saying, well, yeah, if we act like we lost already, then we have no chance. So what do you say to people that are saying that?
Yeah, you have to come out in massive numbers. I think that's the only way we combat this right now. So we have to make it so that there's such a massive amount of turnout that there's really no way that they can actually commit the fraud. And then you also have to hold your local officials accountable. Listen, counties need to hold on to their voter counts and not just be so quickly, especially Republican counties, to be releasing them, because then all these blue counties hold on to them and then, oh, it's going to take us forever to count the rest of these ballots. And then that's when they commit the fraud, because they know the numbers they have to kind of meet to be able to combat what they're up against. And so I think that's the key point too. I think getting involved on election day, taking on any job that you can as a poll worker or any type of way that you could kind of just be eyes and pay attention. And if something does happen, you report it, but you report it publicly. I just don't even think you could go to a police department at this point and report it. I'd say just post it on Twitter and then shoot it to me in a DM or an email. Right. And then we'll just send it to cyberspace and we'll just, you know, make sure everyone sees it. Cause that's the only way we combat it. Cause they'll bury it if you take it to a local law enforcement agency. They don't authentically care to
I think they're all scared. I think what Tucker's saying is true. I think that we should repeal the Patriot Act. We'd plenty of security before then. That became a weaponized thing. And then Obama and Holder come in. People don't really understand that they put in this National Security Division in the DOJ that is like a partner of the unconstitutional intelligence blob agencies. And at this point, I really feel like a lot of these people that could and would and should do something, say something, there's judges all over this country watching what is going on in New York City, silent. And, you know, a whole bunch of judges also, like Ed Meese and other people, already filed a brief at the Supreme Court that the entire Jack Smith case is unconstitutional and that Jack Smith never should have been appointed. And nobody hears about that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I just feel like you have to be so... have such a thick skin to stand up. And I think people should be asking why nobody's standing up and why we're not getting together. I'm sure you saw Trump put it. I know that people don't like this idea. I understand he wants to be on Truth Social and he's building Truth Social, but he's getting 2 million eyes on Truth Social where he would get 100 million on X. So I am hoping that somebody in that world over there says, okay, well, Truth Social, after we win, we can go back to where we'll meet us over there. But I really do think that he needs to speak for himself, because what we're seeing lately with the Donald Trump case is, so he meets with Johnson, right? And then Johnson does something that everyone's horrified by and can't understand why he changed. And then he had just met with Trump. So the optics allow people to say, well, Trump obviously agrees with him because they just met, or he met with Lindsey Graham. Oh, Trump obviously agrees with that. He hasn't said anything other than don't renew FISA. It was the nail in his coffin the first time. Of the hell that was Crossfire Hurricane was the warrantless surveillance, basically. Of course, he doesn't want that, but they're acting like he okayed that, and he okayed the Ukraine money, and he okayed this because he doesn't have a big enough voice at this point. I mean, he has one, but it could be bigger. Still, he did say yesterday that he was watching the peaceful protests, at Columbia University, in my school, NYU, how embarrassing. But also downtown, there was lots of protests in front of the court. And he said, get out there. He said, we've been stopped from gathering. And, you know, Chris Ray did warn about public gatherings and protests, but yet they're okay. But he did encourage it yesterday. And people are like, oh, they're going to go after him because he said to go out there and peacefully protest and MAGA and stand up. And I really think that we should be. Do you believe that January 6th is why that's not happening more? Or do you think people are just, they understand how weaponized it is? It's like the demoralization campaign, I guess, has worked, but I think we have to work through it, because I think showing up in numbers is important. And I also think that there's a lot of people that are anti-war, anti all this spending, that really could meet in the middle, that aren't necessarily left or right, but are just like common sense American citizens that have had enough. So I'm a little concerned about, you know, being heard and at this point, and your thoughts on you know, why isn't that happening? And do you see any way forward that we actually could gather again and actually be heard?
Yeah, well, I think it plays a lot to what you just said. So J6 was definitely a big role in all of this, and it was intentionally meant to be so. So people who were just simply there that day are getting charged, and they didn't know they were entering a restricted area because they think, well, I'm not going to the Capitol, so I'm good to go. But they might've had a sign posted somewhere by a tree that was half removed. And because they passed that sign, now they're being prosecuted. And so I think Americans see that and they're fearful of that becoming them too, because fighting those charges, it's very, very expensive and it will ruin your life. And there's no other way to put it. So I think people are fearful from that angle. But then also when you look at the left, when they go out to protest, it's not peaceful. They are violent and they're not rational people. They get in your face, they scream, becomes this viral moment. Most sane people just don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with someone screaming in my face.
Again,
I don't want to deal with someone getting violent. And so why even partake in that? I'll donate to whoever I need to donate to show my support, but physically putting myself in a position like that, why do it? I mean, I think that's what most people think. And I don't blame them. I'm not going to, you know, I do warn people all the time. And I'm saying, hey, listen, you know, I know a lot of people want to protest the border and the invasion going on at the border, but I say, hey, listen, you got to be careful because if you do the wrong thing, and even though it's a minor offense, they will destroy you because they will use all their resources to come after you. So I'm not saying don't show up. I'm just saying be extremely intelligent when you do so.
Yeah, these are things, though, that I think aren't left or right and aren't Republican and Democrat that we should all be looking at, all just sane, rational, honest people. And I think there's a lot more of them than we think there are because they create, you and I have both worked in media, they create an illusion of a majority that I truly don't believe exists. I truly believe way more people are kind of 20% left of center, 20% right of center, feel like the whole thing is a disaster and a corrupt cesspool and just don't know what to do about it. So they just keep going forward. And I frankly don't think the election of 2024 has anything to do with Trump or Biden. I think it has to do with ideology, what you want for this future. It's an individual choice. It's got nothing to do with party or even those men, as far as I'm concerned. One is about nationalism, reinvesting in America, protecting our borders, language, culture, future, economy, all of that. And the other one to me, he is full on into the globalist model. He is not in control. And it's the Obama, that would be Obama 4.0. I call him O'Biden. But last thing to ask you is, you do still, though, have a lot of faith and hope. And you seem to be one of the voices out there that you end every show with a, you know, we still are. You know, this country is not going to fall. I keep saying to people with that talk about, you know, how Trump says they're not after me, they're after you, I'm in the way. My audience is probably sick of it, but I keep saying they're not after America.
True.
They're after the world, and America is in the way. And to me, if you are a honest American that really gets what's going on, that should empower you and make you feel like, okay, so we actually are standing for peace and freedom and truth and justice and transparency and all these great things. And so I still feel very positive. What are your thoughts going into 2024 at this point? We are right now in $34 trillion worth of debt. We have geopolitical chaos everywhere. The central bank digital currency is looming. The BRICS nations have expanded beyond Saudi Arabia and continue to expand. And all I know is that many experts keep telling me that gold and silver is the best way to hedge against inflation and to protect your savings going forward. Did you know you can convert your 401k and IRA into physical gold and silver today? It can be shipped direct to your door or stored in a secure location. So go to our partners page at themelkshow.com, fill out the form, and someone from Beverly Hills Precious Metals will get in touch with you right away to help you figure out the best course for you and your family ahead. Stay secure, stay safe, and prepare now.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that we'll be able to turn things around in November. I just don't put all of my ducks in one basket, as they say.
Right.
I think that the best way to win this over is by getting people who don't normally, like how you cited, normally don't agree with you to kind of understand where you're coming from on things and to find some form of middle ground. You know, we talk about FISA too. That's another great example because there were dozens of BLM protesters who were also illegally spied on through FISA. Right. And so they need to be told, we need to talk to them. Do you think that should be happening to you? Well, then why do you think Democrats support it without having, you know, warrantless spying on you and waiving your Fourth Amendment rights
right.
and creating the middle ground? That's what we need to start doing.
Right.
These are building bridges because I get it. We don't want to have conversations with people we don't agree with. They are a little crazy on the left, but the reality of it is we need everyone. We can't just be sitting here attacking people who aren't far right enough for us. We can't keep attacking people who are too far left. We've got to find some type of middle ground. So I choose jokes a lot of the times to kind of crack jokes on both sides. I always say I'm bipartisan when it comes to my criticism.
Yeah.
But I think that's the best way to be, only because number one, it's kind of sad. It's depressing. Nobody wants to pay attention to it if it's too sad. Everyone kind of wants a good laugh out of things too, if you could do it.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful for November. We'll kind of laugh our way through this mess as it continues to go on, but we'll also be serious on kind of getting solutions and figuring out how do we overcome this, because they can't take us all down. Like you said, there's 365 million Americans out there. They could all get involved. Right. And that's what we need to do.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I mean, I'll go on. I go and I debate communists. I debate anarchists. I go on a great show, Union of the Unwanted, where I used to be the only conservative, but I'm far more in the libertarian mindset these days, or at least in the totally independent, because I really believe that that entire system is captured. You know, it's so funny. I always talk about George Washington on his way out the door, kind of told the people everything, warned the people about multiple things that we all have like totally violated now. And it's like, I keep saying, go back to look what George Washington said on his farewell address, or just read the Declaration of Independence and tell me where we are. Cause I think we're there. And so it's not going to matter if you are left or right or what your issue is. If we all lose freedom, you know, can't we all just stand for freedom? And after that's reestablished and power to the people is back in place, then we can divide, you know, what we believe in or what we don't. But I really feel that this O'Biden regime, if they are given one more pass and they consider it a mandate, we ain't seen nothing yet. And I think that there are a lot of people out there, even on the left, that look at this and you know, they won't say it out loud. I think there's a lot of people that are going to vote for Trump that wouldn't even say it out loud just because he would be sanding the gears of a terrible direction that this nation is going in. So I'm very hopeful. So before you go, I want you to just tell people a few things that are coming up on your show, because you do a show every day, so that they know, and then where to follow you, where to find you. And I highly recommend everyone does. A lot of people that follow me know that I do deep dives. I do go and dig into documents. I'm not as good as being like to the point, like here's what you need to know. And she's awesome at it. So you should follow
her. Thank you.
So go ahead.
Thank you. That is an honor. That is an honor. So my main two platforms these days are Twitter, or X as the kids call it, and Rumble. So that's where you can find my streams and all my previous interviews. Give those a look too, because we just came out of DC and we got some big ones that we released on that. So that'd be a good one for folks to go look back on. And then also this week, you know, tonight alone, we got Julie Kelly breaking down all the documents and what she's uncovered in the unredaction of a lot of these court paperwork, because she's been going through it. So she's going to break all of that down for us. So that's on the way, as well as Sergeant Ken Harrelson of J6er was just recently released from jail. The DOJ committed perjury during his trial. I'm going to be getting the first exclusive interview with him. So that will also be on our channel shortly once he settles in. So there's going to be a lot of great content coming out of the pipeline soon. I've got a couple of stories we're working on. So the best way to do so is just the Brianna Morello Show. You could search for it on Rumble, and then you could follow us on Twitter as well at just Brianna Morello. And it's with an E instead of an I. I know a lot of people tend to forget that.
Well, you are the best, and I love you, and I think you're awesome. And keep up the great work. And I will see you in real life soon, and I will see you regularly on X. Incredible work, and God bless you, my friend. Keep fighting the good fight, because you are one of the people that does not back down and ask the right questions, and there aren't enough. So thank you for joining me, and I'll see you again.
Thank you, Mel. It's an honor to hear that from you, especially. So I appreciate it.
Thank you. I'll see you soon. Thanks. From our farms to your family, all organic protein, fruits, vegetables, gut health, immune support, and so much more. We have products for weight loss and collagen and muscle building, products for children, athletic performance, and 30-day programs for just $12 a day. You can save $50 on your first purchase of $75 or more with the code MelKWellness. Go to the MelKShow.com partners page and check out Mel K Superfoods today. Great news, guys. We've been beta testing with my founding members, the Mel Kay Show, live on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. And it is going incredibly well. We have a community that we all connect. We can share information. Questions are asked of me, of other people. We share back and forth. This is really a place to go on Sunday nights. Get ready for the week, share what's working, what's not working, how we can make things better, how we can align with each other. Wherever you are in the country, there's many things you can do. So we've added locals now. So on locals, you can also join us on Sunday nights, or you can join members.themelkayshowlive.com. The members at MelKayShowLive.com is a community for you. That continues 24/7, 7 days a week. We put up many different things there, ideas, documentaries that are great. People tell what they're doing in their local community. They can reach out to other people all over the country. It's kind of has a cool Facebook vibe, but it's really about community, fellowship, helping each other, organizing, all of that. You can also just join locals and join us on Sunday nights where you can ask questions, interact with me. I'm going to have on some of my best guests. It's an incredible platform. It's just getting started. It's totally secure. And please join us Sundays at 7 p.m. locals or members.themelkayshowlive.com. I will see you there. This is so much fun and I'm so grateful. And now we have a totally secure community where we can all interact while we are fighting this battle for freedom and our future. See you there.